She's on the Mount Rushmore of Florida talk show hosts, and she's on your radio now.
Now.
It's the Joyce Kaufman Show on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Welcome back. Joyce Kaufman with you. And as I promised, I have an old friend in the studio who is an author and who I didn't know he was an author when he wrote his first book to be on. Well, I knew he was an editor of a newspaper, but I didn't think of him as an author at the time. And he had written a book. And my thing is historical fiction is my favorite genre. And when I found out you had written a book in that line, I said, oh, I'm going to read it. Never really expecting like a newspaper account because that's how I think of you. And it was brilliant. It was a beautifully written book. And you've waited a while for this next book called Piercing the Veil.
Yeah. Long time. What would you say? Old friends? No, long time friends.
Long time friends.
Long time friends.
That's right.
Yeah. Piercing the Veil. You know, I republished the novel Queen of the Heavens set in ancient Egypt. But I started giving book talks on it. But rather than talk about the book and talk about ancient Egypt, I talked about some of the spiritual experiences I had that led me to writing the book and fictionalizing in that novel some of these events. And the audiences were so receptive to that, I said, you know, I'm going to put this down as a journalist, and I'm going to write the facts. So the book is called Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. And it's not a long book, about 145 pages, and it's purposely designed that way. I think our attention spans are such that you need to. But there's about 30 vignettes in it about some of the amazing events, some of which defy the known laws of physics that I experienced during my spiritual journey.
And it really, it's written from the parts that I was able to read, very much like a journalist. Mm-hmm. You know, this is research on. And when you talk about being a skeptic, I laugh because all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of people now coming out and saying, they're not. They don't want to be part of their faith anymore. You know, there was a big article yesterday in the paper of all of these well-known gospel singers and preachers that are stepping away from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And you know, we haven't seen each other in a long time. My husband and I started a church in Fort Lauderdale, so you know, we're going in the opposite direction. And you were not, you know, you didn't have some sort of confined picture of what you were looking for spiritually.
Absolutely correct. And I'm upfront about it. About 32 years ago, I discovered I was alcoholic. And to many, many people who suffer from this affliction, the way they deal with it is through spiritual awakening or spiritual journey, which is what I did, and haven't had a drink in 32 years. So everything in this book, these amazing experiences I write about, are some seem really strange, but they all took place when I was sober. But one of the reasons I wrote this book was, I think I saw a Pew study, 50% of the population in America is said to have had some kind of mystical experience. And I think a lot of people are very reluctant to talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
People think you're nuts. You might think you're nuts. People will criticize you. And when I had my name on the masthead of a newspaper, I couldn't talk about it.
But that's right.
That's been a while back, and I can now. And I felt a journalistic obligation to write this story of mine with the hopes that some other people will come forward and say, hey, you know, things have happened to me that are truly amazing.
Oh, and I am a great believer. And, you know, one of the pivotal moments in my life was after my motorcycle accident when I had, well, it was a death experience, a near-death experience, whatever you want to call it. And it was not typical of what everybody talks about with the white light and the tunnel or anything like that. But it was an absolute face-to-face with God. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's what happened, and nobody could ever dissuade me from that. And when I first started to talk about it, I was shocked at how many other people had similar experiences and had never said it to anybody.
Mm-hmm. And experience alters your perception of the world. And you have cynics, and I was a cynic, still am a cynic in many ways, but open to the understanding that there are things going on that we don't understand. We may someday, but we don't understand them now. One of the people I deal with in the book is Edgar Mitchell, who is the sixth man to walk on the moon, astronaut. He was a Palm Beach County resident. I knew him and had several in-depth conversations with him. And coming back from the moon, he had this mystical experience. I experienced a similar thing. And he spent his post-NASA career investigating the scientific foundations of spiritual experiences, trying to link the wisdom of the ages of some of the things we know now in quantum physics and studies of consciousness. So I think our whole understanding of a lot of things is in the midst of some radical change.
Well, I agree. I think that science has actually borne out things that spiritualists have been talking about for a long time.
A long time.
You know, where does life begin? Well, I don't know, but science now seems to have established that it does begin when faith-based people say it began, you know, and we just, we conveniently push some of that fact out of our consciousness because we have political opinions.
Yeah, and consciousness as well. And what is consciousness? I mean, that's a whole new realm of study that you know, spiritual people have been looking at for thousands of years, and scientists are starting to look at consciousness now. What exactly is consciousness? Some scientists saying that it is possible that consciousness survives the death of the body, which I certainly believe. True, I believe that because of the experiences I've had.
Right.
Like I said, experience is an arbiter of your perception.
Absolutely.
And your attitudes and your ideas. If you've had the experiences, it's impossible.
Can't deny them. Yeah. This would be a great TED Talks. Have you done that yet, the podcast?
Actually, I explored TED Talks, and you know what they say?
What?
They are very reluctant to, one of the rules is we don't want any metaphysical discussions here, and I'm
really?
Saying what?
That's all I've ever seen on there, pretty much.
That's the new rule, I think, and kind of ridiculous. It's got to be based on sound science, they're telling me, you know, if you did that, sound science, the Cardinals refused to look into Galileo's telescope to see the of Jupiter and Lister and his germ theory and such. That wasn't sound science. He wouldn't have been allowed to do a TED Talk under these rules. So
I can see that happening. Uh-huh. Obviously you had a large reaction to the first book because I think I'm not the only person who loves history, but really can't just read history books all the time. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of nonfiction reading, and every now and again, I just need some romance with my history. And that's pretty much what Queen of the Heavens was.
I put romance in it, but I tried to be as accurate as I could because we had an actual historical figure as the main character, Queen Toya, a woman born a commoner, grows up to be queen, actual figure. And some of the characters, Seti the First, her son Ramses the Second, all actual historical figures. And I tried to be as accurate historically as I could be and as detailed as I could be. I was in Egypt a couple times, absorbing the culture, amazing culture, and wrote about it. I've got another rough draft just about done with another novel that takes place where Queen of the Heavens left off.
I was wondering if you're going to do the sequel.
Yeah, but it's not going to be from Queen Toya's point of view. She'll be a character, but it's going to be from the point of view of her son, the Pharaoh. So we'll see where that goes. Right now, I'm sort of inundated with publicizing Piercing the Veil, I do have
at least the outline is put together,
More than the outline.
More than the outline. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I give you credit. I have attempted writing a novel now, writing anything for years, and I have a whole bunch of query letters that have been rejected. So, I give credit to anybody who can actually start a project like that and finish it. It's not that easy.
The quote from Mark, the great American philosopher Huckleberry Finn, if I knowed it was so tough to make a book, I never would have tackled it, and I ain't a going to no more. So, of course, Mark Twain.
We're not allowed to read that
more.
Anymore, Kingsley. That's politically incorrect, Huckleberry Finn.
I brought it up. One of the great books ever written. But
Uses the N word. We can't use it. And that's the silliness of what's going on in today. You know, I mentioned before. We came on the air to Kingsley that he left the newspaper business. He was the editor of the at the time was the editorial page out of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Yes. At the time, it was the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel.
Well, no, actually, it was we had the old Fort Lauderdale News, and that merged with the Sun Sentinel, and we became the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and the news disappeared. So my name was on the masthead of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Yeah, for 23 years, I was the editorial page editor. 30 years working for the newspaper, and eight years after I retired, working as a freelance columnist. So I had 38 years with.
It's a long time. Yeah. What do you think? You think journalism is, you know, as good as it used to be, or
You know, so many changes have taken place in journalism, brought about in large part by the growth of the internet. I could see what was happening with newspapers when I retired. I said I helped build the Sun Sentinel, and we're not going to survive as we were with the advent of the internet. And that I was able, fortunately, to retire full time at that point. I didn't want to be around to see the crash.
It's just been horrible to watch. Yeah. You know, I'm a person. Even at the beginning of this career, 30 years ago, it'll be 30 years next year, I would go into a studio with multiple newspapers in my hand, you know, ink all over my hands by the end of 2 hours of pouring through them with a yellow highlighter. Mm-hmm. And that was my research, you know, and I could trust most of what I got out of a newspaper. Today, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't tell the editorial page, apart from the news, there's no coverage of international events for the most part in local newspapers. Mm-hmm. And the prevailing political atmosphere of whatever town that newspaper in will control the editorial page, which I find anathema to journalism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, some fine new journalists still working there at the Sun Sentinel. Got a couple Pulitzer Prizes in the last few years for some good investigative
work. Did some great investigative work. The Parkland was one of the best dealt with news stories ever.
Absolutely deserved, and the editorial page editor supported that investigation as well. So some really good people working there. You're right, though, about political bias, I think, in the news media in general. Is it a liberal, are you conservative newspaper or station or television program? We've really polarized within the news business as we have polarized, I think, in the nation. Now, what's the cause and what's the effect?
The effect is not good. And the cause is we're responsible for what we've wreaked. But we got to take a quick break. Let's take care of a little business. My guest is Kingsley Guy. His new book, Piercing the Veil, which is basically an examination of what it is to seek out spiritual experiences from a skeptical point of view. All right. My guest, Kingsley Guy, author, journalist, storyteller, and his new book is Piercing the Veil. And, you know, this is, as Kingsley put it, this is his story. And it's a personal story. And I know him as a skeptic. You know, he's not the kind of person who, you know, just casually believes everything that's told him. You couldn't be and be an editorial page editor in those days. So tell me a little bit about, you know, just how you decided to write the book after the book.
Well, you know, as we spoke earlier, I wrote the novel Queen of the Heavens set in ancient Egypt, and I started giving book talks and started talking about some of the spiritual experiences I had that I fictionalized in the novel and led me to writing the novel, and the audiences were so taken by that.
People are starved for spiritual growth.
I am going to write the story, and actually the story came very quickly. This book did not take long to write. I think I probably wrote it initially in about 6 weeks. Then, of course, it took longer in editing and such. We also had beautiful illustrations inside to enhance the reader experience.
Enhance the reader experience.
And it comes in color, or you can get it in black and white at a less price, and you can get it on Kindle. At Amazon.com. Good news, too. We had our official launch the other day, last week, and we became an Amazon number one bestseller in the category and bestseller in many others. Now, that really doesn't mean that I'll be able to buy a yacht or anything.
No Maserati in your future?
No, but it gives us a solid foundation upon which to build the future efforts, and that's
exactly
what my life is going to be dedicated to, at least for the next year, is trying to promote this book. I think it's a message that people need to hear, that there are spiritual realms, they are very real, and We're in a very materialistic age. The wisdom
it doesn't
of the ages
satisfy is, people. That's the problem.
Absolutely does not. And there is a longing for some sort of connection, whatever
absolutely
that may be, with a power greater than ourselves and a reality different than the reality that we live with driving up here from Fort Lauderdale, as
right
I just did to West Palm Beach.
Every day I do
there
it.
There are
yeah
other realities that are
yeah
as real as this one, and that's
exactly
what this book is designed to point out. So.
And again, it doesn't promote any particular spiritual, any faith or anything like that, and I think that's important in that, this is a former journalist, so he's writing, and you cover everything, angels, gods and goddesses, and all of that.
As I say, I'm not a guru. I'm not a pastor. I am a person who worked his entire life as a journalist, and I am a journalist in this, reporting events that actually happened, like I said, some of which defy the known laws of physics, and some just absolutely amazing states of consciousness that I entered because of this. So book to write. So.
Amen. Well, thank you. And you can get it on Amazon.com. It's called Piercing the Veil by Kingsley Guy.
Yeah.
And I would say that I've known Kingsley for a long time, and he may not be a pastor, but he certainly has been a guiding force and a guardian angel for many of us. So
well, thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
We miss the kind of journalism that existed when you were on the masthead. And I know that you defend the good writers that are still left out there, but my goodness, it's so hard.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate your time coming in again and driving all the way up here. You didn't know it was going to be this far, did you, when you
and
offered?
There's a website, too, that you can order it through, kingsleyguy.com, and has some other information on it as well. Plus my other
And you got to read Queen of the Heavens. That was an incredible book. I mean, I think I read it twice, which I don't often do. All right. Stay right where you are. I'll be back in just a few moments, and we've got a lot more business to take care of today. Coming up at 12 o'clock is Bill O'Reilly.